And so as we have Darren and Manackle come onto the stage, they're going to be sharing about what God's doing. Yeah, feel free to come on up. And they're going to be sharing about some of the ministries that they've been doing over in Cambodia. That's the right country too, right? Like, I'm not screwing this up anymore. Okay, good. Good. And this is a great opportunity in my mind. We feel so blessed to have you guys here in their ministries of, they have two main ministries called Clothed in Dignity, as well as they run a welding shop for the men, and trying to reach the people over there in different ways for the gospel. So if it's okay, would you let me pray for you guys, and then I'll turn it over to you? Yeah, Heavenly Father, thank you that we get to have Darren and Manako here, Lord Jesus. And as they share of testimony of what God has been doing over there and the way that God is even giving them, how God is giving them his ideas of how to advance your kingdom where they are, God, would we feel inspired to do the same here in Sylvan Lake? More so, God, and I just pray a blessing over them, and thank you that they took time to come and speak to us, Lord, and I pray it's a blessing for them and that us too would see it as the blessing. Give us hearts to receive and ears to hear what you want to say today, Holy Spirit. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, amen. Guys.
Thank you. Yes, we are here to share God's blessing with all of you. We're glad to be here. We're Darren and Manako Polishchuk. We'd like to thank Pastor Tim for inviting us. We're sorry he's sick today and can't join us. But we're glad to be back and sharing with you. We're not kings and queens, as this picture shows. But we had a lot of fun taking the picture during an anniversary one time. And but, you know, we are fortunate and blessed as sons and daughters of our King, Lord Jesus. We have a lot of freedom. We have food. We have roof over heads. We're given opportunity for education to reach our potential and to spend time with friends and family. And when we see all that God has given us, we are so grateful. When I first visited a poor country, I was taken back by some of the horrible life conditions compared to our beautiful life in Canada. Underdressed children and the heat with the garbage and the lack of sanitation and the unsafe drinking water, eating whatever they could, missing school. And I'd come back to my house in Canada and 1,000 questions would pop into my head. Why was I given so much and they so little? And I began to feel guilty. But after struggling with this, God spoke to me and gave me a verse, Romans 8:1. For there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God doesn't want us to feel guilty. He wasn't blaming me. God just wanted us to know that they are his people too, and he loves these people, and he wants me to feel compassion and love them too. So in doing this, God produced a strong call on our lives. Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim release to captives and freedom to prisoners." You know, the United Nations on Drug and Crime report states that the poor exploded in many ways, as these shows. And out of the seven, we've probably seen or experienced about five of them, like the forced begging, marriage, selling children, forced labor, and sexual exploitation. The United Nations on Drug and Crime report creates a yearly TIPS report that assesses almost 200 countries around the world to understand global trends and facts emerging in trafficking. For example, the risk of online sexual exploitation or how the global pandemic has affected trafficking and other issues. And it's an effective tool in diplomacy, actually, and because it impacts international investment and loss of foreign assistance or funding. And so the countries, poor countries, really care about how they're rated. So basically, there's three ratings, tier one, two and a half, kind of, and three, tier three. So tier one, countries and governments fully comply with the minimum standards. Tier two is countries whose governments do not fully comply but are trying to comply. Tier two watch list is countries who do not fully comply with the minimum standards. They're trying to make a difference, but they still have significant amounts of trafficking happening. Or tier three, countries whose governments do not fully comply and they're not even trying to comply. This past year, Cambodia was downgraded from tier two watch list to tier three. They do not comply with the minimum standards and are not making a significant effort to do so. So in Cambodia, this came out this past July, and it turns out that there are online scam operations that are going on that have really affected Cambodia. Victims were finding online jobs, and a lot of them were actually from other countries, and they were imported to Cambodia and made to do online scams. The people, the victims who found the jobs, sometimes were on Facebook, places like that, and they would come to a foreign country. Of course, the organization would take their passport first, and they were told they had to reach, they had to raise $4,000 a day. Scam, $4,000 a day. Starting with their families, usually. Forced to use chats to get people to invest. And if you didn't meet the target, they would shock you. Like, they would laser you, shock you. They would beat you, starve you. They trapped you in these gigantic factory-type buildings. And you couldn't quit. And so, but the Cambodian government was allowing them to do that. They just allow these people just to come in. So why is this happening? So according to an anti-trafficking officer, he says the root cause is still poverty. But we know what's the root cause of poverty. It's a lack of relationship with God, right? I mean, if we don't have a relationship with God, that's when we start to feel like we don't need and want the power and the money. You know, you and I know that these people are just trying to fill a God-shaped vacuum. Poverty exists because of a need to fill emptiness with money, power, status, and it causes people to become wicked and take advantage of the poor. So what are we to do? To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And that's what we're filled, that's what we feel we are called to do, to protect the poor. And to protect the poor by providing a skill, and in our case, sewing and welding. So they're not tempted to take on these risky jobs. But even if we teach a skill of sewing, if they don't have healing in their hearts, they're still trapped in poverty and in slavery, in our opinion. So the most important thing that we do is daily devotions, where we teach about the hope we have in Jesus, because without God being at the center, what is the point? When we teach about how much God loves us, it changes our understanding of our self-worth, helps us heal the wounds in our hearts. When we share about how much the Creator God cares about us, how his son came to save us, died for us, so that we could live an eternity with him. It's very healing. And when we share our daily concerns with each other, with prayer requests, and pray for one another, it's just built a great community. And we also teach about the hard things in the Bible too, actually. So the holiness of God that can't stand sin, who is just. And in this picture, they're actually memorizing a verse in Hosea. And if you've read Hosea, it's a hard book. And the rest of the day, they create products that build up, that they can be proud of. And we design new products together. This is a t-shirt extender for those who want to wear leggings, but have t-shirts that are just a bit too short. And to show that they're stars, that they're important to Jesus. Working with the poor has a myriad of challenges. Initially, they were constantly asking for money, time off for illnesses, or help with family issues. It can be exhausting working with them. They all have relatives that are depending on them with problems that are astronomical, like one family member killing another one, construction work leading to accidents, leading to paralysis with no benefits, diseases like tuberculosis, malaria, dengue, rabies, leprosy, AIDS, and especially mental health issues due to the generational PTSD after the Pol Pot era. And despite all these challenges, our organizations are doing okay. And I believe this is all because of God, because of the daily devotions, actually. He's bringing the help we need through calling other people to help us come and serve, to pray. He's also leading during devotion times. And God is speaking into their hearts. And they are changing. This is Sopek. She's one of our long-term seamstresses. She's really good. She's like on time. They're hardly ever sick. And she's one of our top employees. During employee evals, she was sharing a little bit about her past and how she used to pick garbage at the local dump. And so then I just kind of asked, so what about the smell? Like, it must be horribly disgusting. And she says, well, it's not too bad if you wear two masks over your face. And then she started talking about what she wore garbage picking. Like, I've never asked that question before. And she's like, well, you know, we usually have like two hats on, like covering their faces and their heads, and three inside shirts, and then two jackets on top, and then two or three layers of pants, and then five socks, and then a pair of shoes, and then boots on top of that, because you could imagine your feet are what steps on everything. They usually have on at least two thick pairs of gloves. And then I said, wow, that's a lot of clothes for laundry if you go garbage picking every day. And she said, yeah, they had to do laundry every single day. And if they didn't wash it very well, they would have skin rashes because it would be super itchy. I couldn't imagine. She told me that she had quit school after grade 6 to help her family. And so she picked garbage for about 5 years before she worked for us. And she'd still be working there if we didn't hire her. So this is Sopek when we first met her on the first day. Third tier left with the pink, dark pink covering. And in fact, there's three ladies that work at our sewing center right now who sew for us. However, I would say Sopek is actually one of the luckier ones because her family was envied in the village. And why? Because her father didn't drink and her mother didn't gamble. And so that meant there wasn't as much abuse and her family always had funds for food or for medicine. So Cam, the girl in the middle with the cowboy type hat on, wasn't so lucky. She's also one of our sewers. Her father is the town drunk and is so addicted that he gets the shakes without alcohol and would probably most likely die if he was just to be suddenly taken off of it. She's the youngest in her family, also quit school in grade 6. She picked garbage for about 2 years, then moved to Thailand, worked with her older sister. Thankfully, she didn't get into a horrible job situation there. But she was discouraged because the money she was sending back was just being spent and nothing was saved. So then she came back, she tried online sales, and then she went to work construction. And so this is what construction work looks like for them. It's a lot of physical labor. None of the work was consistent. They got sick or regularly injured. And if you can see, some of them are wearing flip-flops. But God is for restoration. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities. Desolations of many generations. Strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, and foreigners will be your farmers and your vineyards. And this is Sokan now. She's a beautiful woman, happily married with a 2-year-old child. And she's one of the best sewers. She has so much potential. She's learning all the new methods, and she's reliable, and she's really honest. So sometimes during devotion, she shares about her family issues. And quite honestly, I sit there and think, wow, I need a social worker here. I don't know what to say. You know, her oldest sister married a man who was abusive and alcoholic and, you know, beat them and then left with the youngest child, wouldn't come back unless the wife said that she would continue to stay with him. And so she agreed to stay. And then her oldest daughter, while garbage picking, gets beat up by a 40-year-old man who then flaunts it in the village. And she gets beat up so much that her head is bleeding and swollen. Thankfully, the village chief gets involved and says the man has to pay her $200. I was thinking he needs to go to jail. But anyway, so he stops beating, stops flaunting. But then the sister has to give $100 to the police for protecting them and $50 to the village chief for helping. And so the family actually got $50, and that was just enough for the medication and the hospital visit. She has hope. She's not only smart, but she is determined to get out of poverty, like they are. They're determined to get out of poverty. And she wants to be able to provide for her son. So she's learned the parable of the unforgiving debtor. She doesn't want to be like the servant who is forgiven a large debt and yet refused to forgive others. So she's learned to forgive. And after a while, she's not as angry anymore. But it's actually cool to be part of devotions together. You know, it's been 3 years since we've been doing devotions together. And now it's kind of like when we do Bible study, you know, we pull up other passages from the Bible, even if we're learning a different one, and just relate. And so it's really cool. But God has bigger plans. Middle of last winter, actually, I felt like God was speaking to me regarding clothes and dignity. I just listened to someone express their vision for another foreign country, talking about millions of people coming to know him. And I heard a small, still voice in my head saying, "Your vision's too small." And I was like, "Pardon? What do you mean?" And I felt like God was saying, "Why are you thinking?" I was thinking 50 people would come and work at the sewing center, and that was a nice size. And I felt like God was saying, "Why 50? Why not 500? And I kind of went, "Oh." And I felt like God was saying, "Can you imagine 500 people having devotions on a daily basis, learning about Jesus, going back to their villages, sharing with their families, sharing with their neighbors about who God is, sharing the light?" It seemed a little big to me, especially because I was sometimes struggling to find work for 13 people. But I thought, you know, if this is of God, if this is of me, then nothing will happen. But if this is of God, who can stop him? So in 2022, nothing really unusual happened. In fact, the last couple months, I was kind of like just working, just making products for work of your hand and things. And the ladies were a little concerned, actually, thinking, well, maybe they would, you know, we were praying for orders, and they were a little concerned maybe we wouldn't have any work to do. And then I foolishly told them, you know, I feel like I have this, like God said that, you know, someday this is going to be 500 people. And I feel like God is going to honor that. And it may not be with me, but I feel like that. And they were really encouraged, and we just kept going on. But I wondered. And then actually a couple weeks before we were flying back here, I had a thought, you know what? Why not ask Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child, right? I mean, we had made 1,000 t-shirts for one lady who had packed them into boxes. And I thought, why not ask Samaritan's Purse directly? Would you consider ordering t-shirts from us to make for you? And after some discussion, they actually gave a verbal confirmation of 30,000 t-shirts. Can you imagine? Yeah. So with that, I went to Phnom Penh and ordered and purchased 2,700 kilos of fabric and sent it back on our big truck. And, you know, our ladies have been like, yeah.
Well, basically, you have to realize we're on our way out of the country. We're buying fabric, shipping it back to our shop and saying, bye.
I mean, our ladies have been making t-shirts since 2019. And, you know, one of the things is you have to be fast at it and you have to do good quality. And they have been working at that. And if we can continue to get orders like that, maybe we can have 500 ladies. You know, maybe we can work with anti-trafficking organizations and hire those ladies. That's our dream. But the most important thing is they're learning about Jesus every day. And they're healing. Because without it, nothing else matters. And I've often said, if we didn't have daily devotions, I think I'd be out. I wouldn't want to stay there. I would be out. So 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, with all this going on, my dear friends, stand your ground. Don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. Everything we do for this earth is temporary, but everything we do for God is eternal. And here's some of the pictures of the fabric being sent back. We were on a plane flying out, and this was happening. So that was really cool.
You know, we use an approach to ministry called Business for Transformation. And in this, we're focusing on the whole person in community. Our first project, Clothed in Dignity Center, has been a growing success in transforming the lives of village women, giving them spiritual formation, strengthening the community relationships with one another, and building up their own skills and abilities to support and help and provide for their families. But we've also been praying about the rest of the community. It's pretty hard to transform a community if you're only focused on 50% of the people in the community. So the men who are poorly behaved, antisocial, absentee fathers, were a problem. They were, in fact, controlling a lot of the women and the families in their poor behavior as well. And the children who were stuck in a generation of repeating generational poverty. But our God is also about justice and redemption.
There you go.
For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known amongst the nations and their offsprings amongst the people. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. For the men, 2.5 years ago, we thought we would start a simple welding shop. And I shared some of this with you last year when we were here. We hired 4 men and thought we could take our time and train them in simple welding techniques, maybe doors and windows. But we quickly learned that God had other plans. So we started making trailers. And that quickly accelerated into furniture. And let me tell you the story behind this mirror. This is a huge mirror. This is like 1.6 meters in size. And it was ordered by a boutique furniture maker. As you know, glass is not very flexible, nor is steel. And so it took many, many tries to get the steel frame around this mirror just right so that the glass would actually fit inside. We went through 3, 4, 5 pieces of glass until we got it right. So we're taking the steel frames down to the furniture shop and where we will glue the mirror in place. And as we're assembling it, the owner asks, "Do you know where these mirrors are going?" And he then proceeded to tell us of the French interior designer that had ordered the mirrors and how they were going to be installed in the king's summer palace. And then we then proceeded to ask him, "Do you know who made these mirrors?" And we told him how they were made by men who were former scavengers in the Simreap garbage dump, discarded by society. And we marveled how only God could take redeemed lives, give them dignified work, and that work would then be acknowledged and praised by the king. Amen. And then we needed more space. So we had to expand our shop as the container just wasn't enough storage for us anymore. And our staff, right now as we speak, are working on our 4th expansion because we're just growing, growing, growing. Shortly after, we were asked to make playgrounds for schools, including this one, which was made for Hope International School, a Christian school in Simreap. And we are also now in the process of making playgrounds for Marie Ann's at Place of Rescue. We sent out a newsletter some time ago, and in it we made a one-line statement that our people were asking when they could have a church of their own. And we were simply trying to share with our supporters about how God was moving in the hearts of our staff. And God used that to move into the hearts of some of our donors. And a little while later, we had the funds to build this community center. We're getting pretty good at making buildings now. And in the future, we hope to build the new sewing center for Clothed in Dignity. You need a lot of space for 500 ladies. We're currently working on building our own tractor as well, in conjunction with a government-based university that approached us to build a new tractor design. And they said, if the prototype is successful, we would like you to manufacture 1,000 of these. And then the floodgates began to open. We were asked to make equipment for the aquaculture industry, which is fish farming. And this quickly moved us into a leadership position in this industry because we were the only ones making this, and then we also had to support it and talk to people how to raise fish. And so all of a sudden, we found ourselves as fish farmers making equipment as well as a shop, and you know, and this was just growing. And then we had an organization from the U.S. come to us and say, you know, you've got this building where you could do lots of training. You've got your own fish farms where you can sample and test and demonstrate all the equipment that you're making, and you're making all of this equipment. We have this little project for you. We want to have you make 45 farms worth of equipment for farms all over Cambodia and include solar to go with it. It's a $500,000 project. So we went from 10 men that were making playgrounds and other things to now 30 men across two locations who every day, just like the ladies, are involved in doing an hour-long devotional time every day, studying about God, beginning to transform and change their lives. And imagine, all of this has happened just in the last 2.5 years with the men. So the next chapter. Our staff and ministry team have started a small Saturday morning church in the community center that we built, with their first service happening the day we left town to make our way back to Canada. We weren't even there, and they were standing on their own.
Which is great.
Community events. This is a picture where we were training villagers about the dangers of trafficking. We hope to hold other potential training here, such as welding and fish raceway, building of this equipment, farming, sewing. Building behind this building are dorms and a kitchen that we have built for the purposes of hosting people so they can come for a week to learn. And our first big community event will actually be on December 26th, when the daughter of one of our staff will get married here. But this center will be the home for many other things as well. Starting next February, we hope to launch Alpha classes. Alpha is available in the Khmer language, and we hope to invite people. We already have the fish for food. We have a kitchen. We have a projector and plenty of space, so why not? We also hope to have Friday night movies and show gospel movies and invite people to come back Saturday morning to learn more about what God is doing. This is the building a little while ago. It shows you kind of the size of the space. We built it large so that we would have lots of space to engage the children and the youth in a sports ministry program. And so we hope to partner with the local primary school to start a physical education program and to work with the youth in the community to train them in various sports and then start competing leagues, engaging the surrounding community. The community that we're in is about 10,000 people that surround the Simreap garbage dump. And so this place is a place for all of this community. We hope to share the gospel through the training and the outreach of the team sports activities. And we hope to bring the participants in these sporting activities into relationship with the newly started church. But we have some more exciting news. When we launched our ministry in Cambodia, we prayed, God, we'll walk through any open doors you open. And then we joked, just open them faster than you can manage, that we can manage to get through them. And if you thought maybe we were at our limit, God has shown us he has some other plans. The Director General of Cambodian Prisons has opened the door for us to begin to interact with all 29 prisons and over 40,000 prisoners in the country. They want us to bring vocational training programs for prisons and the gospel to shine light in this dark place.
Gospel as morals and values training, but...
Our first pilot with them will be to introduce fish farming to the prisoners. The prison currently buys fish from the local community markets, and they have no other money for a vocational training program. But they pay market value for the fish and only get fish out of the deal. What we have proposed is to install and operate fish farming equipment within the prisons, and they will pay to buy the fish. So we will use the profit from that to actually invite prisoners to come become commercial fish farmers. We'll certify their skills and their knowledge. We'll give them some money as a salary that'll go into savings so that upon release, these prisoners will go back to their communities with some money and some skills in which they can begin to start their own fish farm if they want to. And so the prison ministry benefits. Prisoners get a secured food source. Prisoners are paid to acquire new skills and certification. Upon release, they return back to their families and communities with sustainable, commercially viable business, making it easier for them to come back and be welcomed into their communities. And the great news, these prisoners will take the light of hope for the future and the coming kingdom into all corners of Cambodia. So 40,000 prisoners going out into Cambodia is a huge, huge opportunity.
Becoming fishers of men.
You know, many years ago, we were sent out as missionaries, and someone shared the following, that God is, following God is like having a lit tea candle and standing in the deepest, darkest jungle at midnight. You know you're supposed to go somewhere, but you don't even know where here is. And you certainly don't have Google Maps. So how will you know when you arrive? What will you do on your journey? How will you survive? How will God use these new open doors? A burden for a new sewing center to support 500 women. The new church and sports ministry program. The prison ministry program. We only know that the door is open and we're supposed to walk through. So stay tuned. Better yet, come and see for yourself. We rejoice in our God and his coming kingdom. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Can you pray with me? Lord, we live our whole lives in that deep, dark jungle at midnight, with a tea candle in our hands. Our senses cry out that it's not enough to live in virtual darkness. Our culture coaches us to say, we need a plan. We need to know where we're going. Our hearts cry out, I'm lost. There is no hope to be found. But still, your voice whispers from the deep. And something in our soul knows that voice, and it responds by blowing out the candle. Now in the pitch black, we have no choice but to trust in you. We take a breath. You fill our lungs. We take a step. You guide our feet. Our eyes now see you standing before us with open arms, embracing us with all that you are. We are home, and our spirit overflows with unspeakable joy. What a rich inheritance we have in you, true sons and daughters. What a witness we have to speak of praising you all the days of our lives. We bless your holy name, and we pray a blessing on all that are here today and watching from afar. May they hear of your greatness and be drawn to you, for all the world to see and to know that you are God. Amen.